Are we live? No, still sit schedule.
Yeah, we're live.
Evening, everybody. Apologies for the slight delay. Everything around here is 2 minutes too late. Mike is in Cleethorpe, so as such is experiencing the wonder of Lincolnshire internet, which is deep shit. And Bruce is fobbing off again, blaming his oven. So can you let me know if signal is dodgy and I'll move? Well, where are you, Mike?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Helpful.
And if it's signal shit, I'll go there.
No, that's all right. You can just about make you do. Yeah, you don't sound like you're quite at the bottom of the sea, but so we can just about decide.
We also can't see you.
I'm on my phone, mate.
Okay.
What do you? I'm in Cleethorpes, mate. What do you want?
Well, it's your phone still works in Cleethorpes.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here for an hour holding my fucking phone up in front of me. Jesus Christ.
I assumed you'd have had some sort of books like put up on top of each other or something.
Oh, no, not that. Not got that level of forethought.
How have you found the fitties and Thorpe Park for the week?
It's been all right. But, I'm tired. Oh. I'm looking forward to going home and having a bath.
Did you make it to the Oriental Express?
No, I didn't. No.
We're giving some real plaudits out to the one of the worst all-you-can-eats you can ever go to.
Oh, you didn't tell me that before you said, oh, you've got to go there. Last time I went there, it was about 20 years ago.
Well, it's no different. Yeah, you went with me.
When did I go with you?
Did we not go with Hannah and John?
I forgot all about that. You're just bringing memories back to me now, mate. Oh, I might. So,
hang on, Sam's had a proper haircut here. He's gone proper, Gen Z. Oh,
let me look.
It looks a bit of a jar, really.
I did it on a Friday.
Did they not do the top, Sam? Did they just do the sides?
Oi, I'm all right, thank you, mate. My hairline's holding up well as I enter my mid 20s.
I was going to say, Alex, this is not good ground for you, mate.
Look at that. It's not good. I don't know. My dad is quite a hirsute man. So I assumed one of the things at least I'd get from him is that I wouldn't have to worry about my bonnet and I'd look, like a silver fox. But apparently that's not on the card.
Think again. Turkey trip for you, mate. Turkey trip for you it is to remedy that.
Yeah. Exactly. A couple of trips to Turkey. That'll be all right. Just got to get the money in. Hello, everybody. Hello, Steve. Hi, Night Andrew. Stuart. Oh, we're not. Only paid for half, says Stuart. Typical Sam. Only paid for half a haircut. Wayne says, evening. Good evening, everybody. And welcome along. We will get ourselves together. I mean, such a FUD.
How many years have we been doing this now?
Yeah, true. I'm not feeling good now. I was in a good mood and now I've been running around. I don't know. But yeah, hopefully you lot will all cheer me up. Evening, Luke. How are you? Hello, everyone. And thank you, everyone, who took the time to join us on the club call / audio fish cake, whatever the hell we're going to call it. Unsurprisingly, we didn't workshop it before we joined it. So we don't really have a name for it. But you all came on the Twitter space, had a chat.
That's entirely on brand.
Yeah, exactly.
That we don't have a name for it, but we're doing it.
We're doing it. Does this shirt make the camera look weird?
Makes you look weird.
I've got like some sort of hypnotic thing.
Oh, yeah, you've got the strobing right at the bottom, thing effect going on, yeah.
Right at the bottom, yeah.
Change it in the ad break.
Any epileptic viewers, please turn off your camera.
That's not a bad idea. Hang on, give me 2 seconds. I didn't think of it like that. Sam,
it's going to come back on. It's going to have no top on.
You got to pay extra for that.
Now the only person anyone watching live can see is me, which is that's going to cost us our last 16 viewers.
I'll tell you something, I'm one accidental internet click away from a real problem here.
What else have you got up to then, mate, on your week in northeast Lincolnshire?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, what have I done? I built a sandcastle. It was banging.
Proper castle, none of this southern shit where you actually build an actual castle.
Oh, I even did a moat all the way down to the sea because I'm, professional like that. So I did that. Went to the games. What did I do yesterday?
Hang on. Can I Tacklebury has come in and said something. Well, what a fab weekend. Town win, a small win on the lottery, and now all I need is a general election. Now, the politics part of it aside, how much did you win?
Define small.
Yeah, exactly.
Define small.
Is he saying he didn't win the Euros, but he won the actual lottery?
Just the 2 million.
Yeah, just the two. Steve, I'm very sorry, mate. That is for our DN35 nights, if you want to see me naked and oiled up. Grimbo, evening, Sad. Did you enjoy the F1 this morning? Nobody enjoyed the F1 this morning, Grimbo.
Honestly, I'd forgotten it was on. It was only when
was there F1 on?
Yeah, and saw my phone, and saw, because I've got like goal notifications that came, oh, Verstappen. I'd completely forgotten. I pay no attention to it now.
Well, there we go.
Forgot about that.
So come on, Mike, talk us to us through your Grimsby holiday. I enjoy going up there, but I'd like to, you know, live vicariously through you.
Oh no, I've had a great time. As I said to you guys on Tuesday, I mean, place gets a bad rap, and I think it's one of these things that you have to go away and not have it for a while to appreciate it. But no, we've done all sorts, mate. We've been up and down the bloody pier, I don't know how many times, up and down the seafront. Crazy golf. I got a bit competitive. We don't talk about that anymore.
Which one did you play? The one on the seafront or the one that goes, that's up the hill slightly?
Yeah, the one in the seafront with all the glass all over it. Yeah, I thought it was glass from, you know, people throwing glasses on a night out. Apparently it's just extra hazards. Yeah, so we've done that. Went to boating lake. That was fun.
Alex, you muted.
Bought in Lake.
I went to Big Tesco as well. That was an interesting morning.
Hang on,
Big
which Tesco. One?
Well, the one down near Umberston.
Oh, okay, because the other one was meant to be a big Woolworths.
Was it?
Just, you know, from 20 years ago, facts, if anybody wants that.
I went to a fun fair, £12 to get in to go on all the rides. But if you, like, we took my mum and that, and she wasn't going on anything, I still had to pay £12 for her to get in. I don't know how to make any movement.
Just stand and hold the coats. That's a rip.
I don't know how they make any money from all the Yorkshire folk up here. There's no way we go for that sort of thing.
I tell you,
60 quid. It was only me lad that went on it. Stuff.
Well, there's this one that comes up here, which is a steam fair. It looks really nice. Imagine like Paddington 2. Like, it's really beautiful, but like every ride is like a tenner a go. It is ridiculous. And, you know, the people from Surrey lap it up. Oh, can I have a selfie and Tarquin can have a go on the carousel sort of stuff. But, you know, them and... Oh, and I saw Graham Lasseau there once. But, yeah, absolute rip-off.
I tell you what we did today. You know, those of you that know Thorpe Park will know they've got this little train that goes around the camp. And I've been promising my lad we'll go on it all the time we've been here. And I thought, well, I'll have to do it today. It's last day. We're going back to London tomorrow. As soon as we got on, it started raining. And then, not even just raining downwards, it started raining horizontal.
But... Did you not go on the little light coat railway? The little
light railway. Yeah, I've been on that.
Stuart, I cannot afford £10 a go. I will tell you that. And my sister's now getting involved, saying, "I don't want to see you shirtless, Alex. You're a sister from Lincolnshire. You absolutely do." You know,
I've been chased by a swan.
You've been chased by a swan. Yeah. Just the one swan, actually.
It didn't last very long, you know.
Good reference.
Like, yeah, you don't have much stamina, do you?
It was like, he started chasing me, then all of a sudden got you.
Andrew Niles saying, Mike is turning into Michael Portillo. I assume he has the red chinos to match. And the questionable...
Did you see?
That means he's going to become a Tory. That means he's a Tory. That's a turn for the turn up for the books, that is.
Did you see about Portillo? There's this Twitter thread of him as Easter eggs. It's hilarious.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
No, I haven't. Has he still got his questionable voting record? Jack Brown says, can these please get rid of the big wheel accident waiting to happen? Where's the big wheel? Is there a big wheel?
On the seafront.
Is there?
Oh, we didn't go on that.
I've been a kid.
In front of where Wonderland used to be. Wonderland,
oh, that one.
The world. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Do you know what? My son went on it once. I wouldn't go on it. I held the bags.
I went on it about 15, maybe probably more like, no, more like 17 years ago, actually, with granny and granddad, and it felt a little bit unstable then.
Well, it's all been there since I was a kid, and that's a long time ago. And, I didn't know whether to let my lad go or not, or give him a tetanus beforehand, so we moved on. But, you know, It was the first time in a long time I've been here and Cleethorpes Seafront is all open. Because when I've been up here before, it's been sort of off-season and not all of it's open. Do you know, halfway down the seafront towards Blundell Park, there's a shop that sells slushy, but they've also just got like this bar just onto the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll tell you what, we don't need Bruce. We don't need
Bruce. We've got that in London.
We're doing the inane chit-chat walk down memory lane without him.
Well, I parked in a car park, I can tell you about, if Bruce isn't here, to tell you about car park.
What car park did you park in?
The one all the way down end towards North Wall.
Well, which one's that then? Where's that near?
Well, it's near the road, and you come off it, and you go into it, and people have got caravans parked in there. I think it's an odd choice to stay in a caravan there. But it's only £6. No, I did move my caravan, you know. But it was only £6 for the whole day, and I thought that's quite good because there was nowhere to park down the seafront. I would say they probably need to tarmac it a little bit. It's a little bit slippy underfoot. I'll say that.
I'll tell you something. I've got some sketches because I'm now a dad and losing my hair. But I was walking back from the office back to Waterloo Station, and I tell you something, they do not have any fucking grip on those flagstones. I was nearly in the Thames before you could tell. I was walking down like a drunk, but there we go. Mike has been to Bonker's Bank. It sounds like he has, Stuart.
Not again. I won't go there again.
The same big wheel that features in an Erasure video. That's not true, is it, Tim? If it is, send us the link and we'll pull it up. That's amazing.
Are we filling for Bruce to get here? Is that what we're doing?
No, we never. Who needs to fill for Bruce?
He's only going to get here. Talk about how he can't go to Harrogate on Tuesday night because he buggered about buying tickets. And then moan a little bit and then talk about, as Mike says, the best place to park the car. And then do a quiz.
I mean, I'll be honest, that's pretty much the whole thing of the show, isn't it?
And then as soon as he's finished, say, right, that's it, let's go, because he's bored.
Yeah, yeah, I'm bored. I've done what I have to say now. After what
I'm finished now, off we go.
There we go. Right. Should we do the intro?
May as well.
That's it, Mike. Sell it.
Yeah. No. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got fancy here. They've been fish flying about that. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN35 podcast. Thank you so much for turning up and showing your face and listening to it wherever it is. And thank you all for the kind words after our club call interview with Dave Artell and absolutely everything else. Obviously, before we even start, we want to send our thoughts to David Artell and family who are, you know, currently going through the bereavement of his father. We hope everything's all right. And all we can do is pass on our love as Town fans. And love there is, because 3 points have finally washed up on the shore like a drunk Mike taking full advantage of that bar on the seafront. Somehow, somewhere, those beautiful bastards from Wales, not those ones, the ones that look after decent, well-meaning strikers, whether it be a Bogle or a Podge, they came and kindly gifted 3 points. And here's something to be said for it. Sam was there. But more importantly, Mike, I don't know where Blundell Park is, McMahon was there as well. So I will pass over to you two gentlemen. Bruce might make an appearance or might not. Let's be honest, we can buy someone better in. But what were your thoughts? I will pass over to you guys. Let's go with Mike. Sam, let's go with Mike because he hasn't been back yet.
Do you know, I know Sam far too well. I'm sat in. I thought I'd just let Sam go first because he'll be so quick for that button, won't he?
If he was in Have I Got News for You, his team would definitely win, wouldn't they? Like, there'd be no joke answers with Sam. It'd be like, this is the answer.
It was a good game. I must say, it's not until you go back to Blundell Park and you don't get there that often that you realise how much you miss the place. So it was great to be there. And I don't think the two games that I've been to, Bradford and Newport, were that dissimilar. The only difference for me in the two games is yesterday we got more shots on goal than we did against Bradford. And I think quite easily, if you could have reversed those two games and we'd held on at Bradford and conceded against Newport, the narratives would have changed. I think we did well. We needed that second goal. Didn't manage to get it, which created a bit of nervous tension around the place, including me. But I thought we've had a lot more of the ball than we've had over the last sort of 8-9 games. And I think we got in some really interesting positions with it and started to look quite dangerous yesterday. Quite a few standout performances. I think the spine of the team, as others have said, Tharm, Thompson and Rose are just outstanding, the three of them. And I think moving forward, there's three players you can start to look at to next season and say, can we build a team around them? We look a lot better with them in the team. Really good game. I think we deserved the 3 points. I wasn't really impressed with Newport, but they didn't really have much to play for. Can't really remember them having too many chances other than, I think, a shot in the first half, which Eastwood did well. I think Vernon slotted in quite nicely as a fullback, as a wingback, sorry. And Jake Eastwood didn't have much to do, but what he did was tidy. So after a lot of people have been quite panicky over the last week after we dropped late points to Bradford and other teams around us won, it's just nice to be able to settle that down as quickly as we can and get those 3 points and other teams around us all drop points as well. And I think overnight that table is looking a lot better. The end of the season is looking a lot better. And hopefully we can kick on now and start another run of good results. I mean, when you look at the last 10 games, we've only lost two of them, and that's to the second and fifth team in the league. So definitely we're a much better team than we were. And I like to see we are trying to do a bit more with the ball than we did at the start of that run after Doncaster. We're trying to do a bit more and have a bit more possession and create a few more chances. So yeah, settled everybody down, hopefully. And hopefully it's the start of another run into the end of the season. Try and catch teams like Salford and maybe Swindon.
Well, I don't want to derail everyone, but I think we were all a bit panicky, weren't we, after Bradford? Let's be honest.
I wasn't, because you told me off for not being panicky. You said, why are you not panicking?
Do you know what? I'm not having this, because the podcast was voted not to be done last Sunday. Not because it was Easter Sunday, but because it can't just be me and Bruce were so annoyed that we didn't want to do it.
I was just going with the flow, mate. You two didn't want to, wouldn't really want to do it, so I just so I just said, "Oh right, I'd have done it if he'd wanted to." I was,
and you just didn't listen to me as usual.
What was that? I'll be honest. I was not happy, and I don't think many people were happy after Bradford. It was, and there was a chance yesterday's game could have gone exactly the same way. We played better than we did against Bradford, but I don't think we disgraced ourselves against Bradford. The problem was that we didn't finish the game off. Bradford were there for the taking. We didn't take them. You could have said yesterday Newport were there for the taking. And Donovan Wilson with two, maybe three gilt-edged chances, we didn't take them. And, you know, all it is one crazy refereeing decision away from another draw, another 2 points, 2 points dropped. We are getting there. We're playing better, but we are, you know, let's be honest, I am rather glad we've got a couple more points on the board than we do, because it would be very much squeaky bum times. I'm relaxing a little bit now. I think we need 5 more points and then we are pretty much mathematically safe. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel, Sam?
I'm not even sure we need 5 more points. So we've got 43 points and Sutton and Forest Green can only get 48. If we win on Tuesday, then you're asking Sutton and Forest Green to drop no more points for the remaining of the run-in, and both of them have got to play a lot of sides at the top end of the table. So I don't think we're quite there yet. We're going to need some more points to stop up. Yes, I think. But I think one more win will about do it. I was like Mike. I wasn't panicking. I was frustrated we hadn't won the game on Monday, but I don't think we could complain too much because we didn't, unlike yesterday, we didn't really kind of create any other chances. We sort of scored from a half chance. It was a better game of football yesterday than it was against Bradford, I thought. We played the conditions quite well, I thought. Numerous occasions, I mean, it's not very kind of elegant, but Holohan and Thompson sort of played balls into the, that held up in the wind in the second half, that had defenders at sixes and sevens with Wilson, then Ebikwe sort of running in behind and causing a few problems. I thought we did that well. But you're absolutely right, Alex, that we're kind of one mistake or a ball into the box and someone Mal Benning a own goal into the back of the net or something, and we're having a very different conversation now. It's very fine margins.
But I guess that's what football is.
Yes.
It's always fine margins, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's usually fine margins. I mean, I wouldn't say 6-1 and 5-1 at home are fine margins, but that's a different argument.
you'd ask Arteta that during those games, he was saying they were fine margins.
But certainly since
fine.
Look at the kind of post Doncaster run in its entirety, and as Mike said, we've lost to two sides, Wrexham, who've got a budget 70% bigger than ours, Barrow, who are very well coached and very high up the league, and then we've not lost to anybody else and beaten MK Dons in that lot. So it looks to me like we are a better side than at least two, probably three, maybe four sides in this league. I mean, I would like to have it sort of all sorted, so we're not going to Colchester a week on Tuesday with a hell of a lot to play for. Regarding going forward, I do agree with Mike that Farm, Thompson and Rose, you've got the basis of something you can build around there next season. I think Thompson will be even better next season when he's got a proper pre-season and looks fitter as well. But we can sort of save the sort of next season. That for when we're safe, we can have the post-mortem of looking at...
We are literally going to have a four-hour episode, I think.
Yes. I won't be quite as kind of chilled now about saying certain things, and I'll kind of let rip, but we can wait for that. I was confident we'd win yesterday. I tweeted it beforehand. We were going to win. I thought we'd win at half-time, but it's a bloody good job we did, because they had their bucket and spade and suntan lotion packed, didn't they? They were on the beach. And the reality Tuesday night is a very similar... affair, really. They've got a very similar number of points to Newport. They lost at home to they lost at Notts County on Saturday. I think we should look to win the game and basically make sure we're on the beach at Crewe.
We're very lucky to have played Bradford and Newport, both sets of fans of which said, look, if you can't beat us at the moment, you've got problems. And you know, we did. So, you know, you've only got to beat what was put in front of you. But Mike, you wanted to draw attention to something. I didn't want to. I was almost sarcastically going to have a celebration of finally reaching the 2009-2010 points total yesterday, which is a massive achievement. But you wanted to talk about set pieces and how well they go.
Firstly, I didn't know Crewe had a beach, Sam. But I mentioned this in the group earlier. You all think it was going to be a positive thing. It really isn't.
No, I don't think anybody did they?
But Sam was like, oh, that's bold of you going to defend the set pieces. So,
well, you presented it in a way that you were going to sort of say something that was out of the ordinary. And I thought, hang on a second, is he going to...
Do you think Mike was going to sit us down and go, right, lads, everyone, is this what this is going to be? I don't think we're very good at set pieces.
I've cracked it, lads. We're shooting corners.
If we say we can't beat Bradford next, another insightful analysis.
No, it's nothing major. It's just something, you know, we've said for a while that we turn attacking opportunities into defensive problems quite often. And sitting there in the Osman for the last two games and sort of watching our set pieces, we've got such an issue with a second ball. You know, if we don't win the first header and it goes to the edge of the box, it's out to Houlihan or Thompson, you know, not picking on them, they're just the first two that come into my head. Too often, we just lose the ball. You know, we try and play something on the edge of the box when we're overexposed. And to me, a lot of the problems we had yesterday and to Bradford and in a lot of other games is on the break from our set plays. And I just wish to God we'd sort out that if the ball comes to the edge of the box, whether it's on either side of the box or in the centre, we just do something with it that gets it out of the way of losing the ball and being broken against, because that's a huge problem for us this season. So many times the ball headed out, it's to the sort of right corner of the set of the penalty box. We try and do a 1-2, it doesn't work, and then they're off. I just put the ball back in the bloody box, first chance you got. And sort of watching the two games I have, I'd noticed that more than I notice it sort of on watching it online, because you're seeing the play in front of you. And that, to me, is a big issue we need to sort out pretty sharpish.
Another issue is we're not very good at fouling players. So the number of... It's like a daft thing to say that, but I remember going back into the first era of the conference days, Diz was really, really good at... Oh, they're going to break on us here. I'll just give this man a little bit of a shove on the edge of the box. Not a yellow card. It's nothing more than that, but it breaks down any chance for counter-attack. We are, whether it be Tobe Malarkey or Curtis Thompson even, or Holohan, they're rubbish at breaking up attacks by fouling. I know it's a very cynical way of looking at it, but it's something we're going to have to improve, daft as it sounds. We've got to get better. Malarkey's a key culprit at it. He's rubbish. He's not very quick for a start. And then when he's been beaten, he's not very good at sticking his leg out of the way and bringing them down to stop it, which you need to do sometimes. It's not the case of kind of not being very savvy in streetwise, I think.
Well, I don't run them down too much. You know, we've been 10 games, we've lost two, but, you know, it is a bit like, I think Artel's mentioned before, when we are trying to get back in, when they're transitioning from defending to attacking, we do overcommit and we maybe go that little bit further and that actually opens up for them. But off the top of my head, I can think of Accrington, Stockport and Wrexham, just two, three games off the top of my head where we've conceded a goal from an attacking set play, where we've not done enough to either make sure the second ball in the second phase is a safe phase that we don't turn over, or we've not broken it up well enough. And that, you look, just off the top of my head, that's three goals. And that's something fairly simple we need to sort out for next season.
Matt Wood says Thompson is a good, a sacrificial yellow card. But I agree, in those sort of transitions, we're not amazing. Do you think we are missing Luke Waterfall's aerial prowess? And Mike, I'm going to turn it back to you. Your blue-eyed boy, who I saw wearing glasses this morning, which, you know, kind of threw me off him. Doug Clark.
Has he been around your house this morning?
No. He was on the Matchday Moments. Where's his aerial prowess in the other end of the box? What do you think of that? Do you think we are missing Waterfall's heading ability in that area, or is that overstated?
Now this is interesting, because somebody said something completely different to what I thought earlier. So when I was in the Osmond, I can't speak too much for the second half because it's the other end of the pitch, but he was nearly on the end of absolutely everything that was going into the box of the first half. And I think on another day, he wins most of those headers. I'm watching the set plays go into the box and I'm thinking he's on the end of it here. You know, he's got to get on the end of one. So I don't think it's the case of, you know, he's any better or worse than Luke Waterfall at it. I think he wins a lot in our box, and I would think he'll probably win a lot in their box if we can get those deliveries into the box correct. I mean, before yesterday with Charles Vernon, I can't remember the last time we've had a game where we've got decent deliveries into the box. There was a stage or a passage of play in the first half yesterday where it was corner after corner and the balls were going in, and, you know, they were dangerous deliveries, and it just wouldn't drop for us. You know, there's a couple of scrambles and what have you, or Tharm's got on the end of it and it's took a nick off for another corner. One other thing I will say about set plays and about Tharm is his throw is getting better, I've noticed. And it might be the fact he's using it more and more that it's getting better. And there's a couple of times he got the ball into the box and, you know, we could talk about we need to be winning the first contact and the second contact to score. But there's a few occasions where he's taken a throw in from our defensive, in our half, probably in our defensive third. He took a throw and he's won a throw in further up the pitch straight away. And then we've got a ball into the box from it. You know, so in terms of not just an attacking sort of first instance asset, he's getting us up the pitch with it, and then we're getting a chance to get an entry into the box. Now, the more entries into a box you create, the more
Mike
chances you're going to score.
Is he can't see what we're doing.
What are you doing?
He's just doing a Sam.
What? I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here listening.
Mike, I agree to a point, but I don't think his throws are getting that much better. I do agree. He feels...
I was sat in the Osmond, and quite a few of them were going past the penalty spot above head height.
Yeah, but it's not that that's the issue, is it? Is there more of a looper than a throw in?
I think they used to be. I think they're getting better. I noticed it yesterday. I thought they were getting better yesterday. Sorry, mate.
Hey, it's all right. Take your Doug Tharm fanboy hat off.
Yeah, it's not this yesterday.
I'm coming back down your way tomorrow. I'll find you.
But I think he's very good at winning that sort of possessional territory sort of game, almost rugby style with his throw. But I don't think he's anywhere near the threat that we've had with... I mean, he's better than Mar, let's be honest, but
that's not a bloody Mar.
Are you comparing him to Cropper, which is very unfair? You're comparing him to somebody who's got one of the longest throws I've ever seen in football.
Well, he's not too far off it, though. They're the two... They're the thing... Cropper's throw, like for the playoff final... didn't necessarily get any further than what Tharms did yesterday.
It was,
but it's flat.
They were so flat. Yeah, that's why Croppers were so threatening.
Tharms are a looper, but you know they get them in the box. They're better than just, let's be honest, which is usually the thrower's there in the final third looking for an option. He finally gets one 2 minutes later, which is to the bloke just basically two yards in front of him, tries to pass it to him, gets tackled, loses it, and the throw goes to the other side. At least it's creating stuff, isn't it?
I mean, I'll go back and have a look or look at the next game, but
I'm sure you will.
I definitely noticed yesterday, and I actually thought to myself, that throw is getting better than it was. And I don't think it's the same. Him.
That's why.
Well, from both sides, Sam, the wind only blows one bloody way, mate. You blow both ways, but you know.
Bloody, coming from you.
Right. Let's Graham Dickens brought up a good point that I've tried to put through, but said when you were talking about that sort of being able to break up the play, sacrificial yellow card, saying, and Graham's kind of tying it into the game management problem that we have as a club, losing 32 points from winning positions. That is one of the big parts of it, isn't it? You know, it's exactly why Man City are, you know, as ruthless as they are, is they're quite good at rotating fouls amongst the squad to be able to break up play.
Yeah, it's definitely a different problem than we've had before. You know, when we've been in and around the bottom of a table before, it's been a quality issue. Now, obviously, we don't have the quality this year, but I think the bigger issue is the mindset and the mental fragility maybe and the know-how and skullduggery of it. We've lost a lot of points from winning positions, which
just
tells me
we're not in the fucking air.
Yeah, but it tells me, you know, we're good enough to get a lead. We're just not good enough to keep it. And to me, that's not a quality issue. That's a mindset issue. And I think that's a big problem that we'll have to address next year. And that's the same with breaking play up or knowing when to foul and when not to foul sort of thing.
We've dropped the highest number of points from winning positions and gained the lowest number from losing positions. If that doesn't indicate we've got a huge mentality issue that needs addressing in the summer, that probably extends beyond a confidence problem. I don't know what does really.
Sam's in there with the cutting edge tactical analysis there as well, Mike. So we're not very good. Our mentality is pretty shot. And we're also...
it astonished me, honestly, that but this is mostly a Hurst team. And what would you always associate with a Hurst team? Resilient, hard to beat, energetic, stay in games. And yet all of that went. And we've ended up with a kind of squad that shits the bed every time something gets a little bit difficult. It has improved in recent weeks a little bit, admittedly. But we ain't going anywhere better than this with this mindset.
Let me just have a quick look. Some people have said some quite nice things. Matt Woods, who's getting more and more Yorkshire as he writes, says, can all the chicken lickings after the Bradford game and Barrow game now calm down? No, Matt, I won't calm down until we're mathematically safe because this team does not calm my nerves. And then Matt says, beat Arrogate and we're safe. I think we're safe ready, to be honest. He said that all while going down the hill in a bathtub.
Was that a Yorkshire accent?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I'm not in Scotland, so I can say what I want. Tim Hubbard says, Barrow was a mess. We bounced back against Bradford, but let it slip. We showed the resolve we need against Newport. We're on our way to safety. And then let me have a look through. Taylor Blee said, I thought 1-0 scoreline flattered Newport, but shows why we are struggling. Like yesterday was fortunate enough that Newport were poor. And Monday we were punished for not killing the game off. We're just not clinical enough. Taylor says, wasn't happy with Wilson coming off. I'm aware he missed the clear-cut chances, but he was more suited to the game than Ebikwu. I said, I like a bit. He's 21. He's doing all right. He put a hell of a shift in against Sutton. I was really impressed with what he did. And I really can't ask for more for a young lad leading the line. And I was quite surprised people were, you know, quite quick to slag him off, but you know, I can't say anything.
He's not going to take Danny Rose off, in my opinion, just because of the leadership and what Danny Rose gives you. So you're wanting to stretch the game a little bit with the centre halves and the back line being a little bit more jaded. So you're gonna take Wilson off and bring on a young lad that's done all right. He's still learning his trade, but he's picked up a few goals. He's had a few good performances. I'd had no problem with him changing him and him coming on and having a go at them. Especially if they're pushing for a goal, you need that bit of pace and that bit of fresh legs up there, especially when Danny Rose is absolutely knackered.
I need your support. Sorry. Oh yeah, you go, Sam, because I'm moving on.
Here's a question, because Vernon did well, I thought, yesterday at left wing back, but he played 90 minutes. He's been out injured for months. But he was out injured for months and he came back very briefly and then been out injured again. Do you think he stays in on Tuesday night? I mean, I think he would do if he could, but do you think it's a lot to ask of him given his fitness issues?
I don't reckon he stays there. I reckon Hume comes straight back in, to be honest.
And again, Vernon hasn't played half as much as he needs to, which is why I think we still need to find a replacement for him. But from what he's offered all season, I will say, I think he's been absolutely fine. Mm. I think that's been some of the brightest parts.
My issue with Vernon and Wilson, people say, oh, fantastic player, get him on the pitch. Yeah, but they're injury prone. And we know they're injury prone, especially in Vernon's case, going back years. You can't carry too many injury prone players and hope they stay fit.
Not with small squads now.
So it's a real bugbear of mine, this.
I need your help here. Mike is our roving reporter in the Osmond. Ashley David Smith says it was a fantastic atmosphere in the Osmond yesterday. What I keep saying, make it a fans area to sing and shout and make a bit of rowdiness. Love the ball boy shithousery at the end of the match. Mike, can you report on what the shithousery was at the end of the match?
So what happened is they had the ball in their left wing area, so our right back area, prattling about with it. And a ball boy ended up on the pitch with another ball. Now, I don't think it was shithousery. I think he was trying to stop the ball and accidentally went on the pitch and realised he was closer to the pitch than he was. Unfortunately, Bobby Madley had given a throw into us and then decided to give a drop ball to them because he'd realised after the event that it happened. But I don't think it was shithousery. I think it's a ball boy trying to grab a ball and, oh shit, I'm near the pitch. I'm on the pitch. Oh dear.
I'm taking out their player. Oh dear.
Oh dear, broken leg.
I say we need more of that at Blunder Park. I mean, first and foremost, I really do like that we thank people for coming. I do like that we thank the away fans for coming. It's
he'll
always
be
quite
in a
nice.
Minute now.
It's like his bat signal, isn't it? I think it's really appreciative. The only reason I'm saying is it annoys Bruce. I could take or leave it. I'll be honest, I don't give a shit. I think we've got bigger problems than who we thank.
I noticed it until Bruce pointed it out. That's how much it annoyed me.
But I think what Bruce dislikes about it, I think if everybody said it, he wouldn't care. And the 1912 podcast from Newport County, well worth a listen. They did a podcast on the North Wall before and after the game, I think. So well worth listening in. Said our much amusement amongst our fan was that our fullback even got beaten by a fucking ball boy.
They did a podcast. They had bloody wind defectors, whatever they're called.
Wind defectors? I don't believe in wind.
Yeah.
Sam's got a backbencher that thinks that. Let's be entirely honest. Don't believe in wind. Big wind.
One thing I would say from yesterday is that I think the goal we scored just typifies Danny Rose, doesn't it? It's, you know, you don't.
That was a lovely tickle, wasn't it? It was a tickle.
It just chases everything down, doesn't it? But you know,
what would you call that goal, Mike? I would call it a tickle. What would you say that is? That little tap. Sam, have you got a thought?
I'd call it an elegant flick.
It wasn't a poke because it was with the outside of his boot. You can't call it a poke.
Okay. I don't know then. Flick.
I'd call it a caress. He caressed it.
A caress. No, caress to me. Caress is like the in-swinger, isn't it? Yeah, the
LBX. That's a caress on FIFA.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, Bakary Sanya. Bakary Saka. What's his name? Saka. What's his first name? Bakayo Saka.
Bakayo.
It's him, like, take it. It's like, you know, stepping inside and just putting it in top left. I don't know. Lewis agrees with me saying it's a tickle.
On Danny Rose, though, it's a pretty good job we've got him, isn't it? If we didn't have him, we might as well pack up. We might as well book our train tickets to Tamworth.
How many goals this season?
I think that's 15 in the league. What I was going to say, because I know he's very close to 16, which is his all-time best from 2014.
Oh, hang on. Bruce has come back with some excuses. Sorry, lads. Just finished eating. Had to get delivery as the whole oven had died.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say about Danny Rose is it goes notice when he's chasing down and harrying the keeper and he gets a goal or he gets an assist or something like that. But and I'm sure lots of people do notice this, but maybe not the effect it has, is the amount of times he chases down a fullback and just instead of them playing it long for our defenders to deal with, he puts it out for a throw-in. Now, when you're talking about percentages in the game of football, and especially when you've had difficulty defending like we have, every single time he does that and stops the ball going forward, it gives us a break and it stops the attack from happening. And I think that's really undervalued when he does that. And he's, you know, I don't see any other player doing that and sliding in on the touchline to stop a long ball going forward.
McAtee used to do it, didn't he?
Yeah, not as Danny does it all the time. If he's anywhere near it, he's chucking himself at it. Honest to God, the man just chuck himself at anything.
I think his work, and I think it starts from that side. Look, let's go through. Are you guys happy to? We've got about 20 minutes. Shall we just go through some of the questions that the people? Well, that's not true. Can we?
Shall we go through some of the people to say?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'll be entirely honest, Sam. After the last few referendums, I'm kind of in agreement with you there. I'm not sure people deserve
to
say
anything. When did the national vote last go your way, mate?
2011, Gordon Brown. Oh, not Gordon Brown, Danny Blair.
There's one going to very soon, Sam. Don't worry, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming anyway.
Because I tend to vote Labour. I voted Lib Dem the first time I ever voted, though, because he was from our village. So I thought, well, he might fix the potholes. But that was a local election. And then there was, there's been two referendums, hasn't there? You know, Brexit, and then there was the one for proportional representation.
The AV referendum in 2011, yeah.
Yeah, I voted for it. So yeah, no, I don't think, it's as barren as a you know, your run watching town up until yesterday.
Yeah, hold it. The curse is broken. Cam, if you're listening, you can stop tweeting and blaming
so me. I'm happy to give you as much abuse as the next man, but your dedication to town is pretty impressive. How many games have you been to between yesterday and when you'd last seen a win? Do you know the number of games?
And some of the people's questions, I'll tell you, it up in my head.
Okay, you get. This is his.
Do you know, I've not seen us lose in the league.
Well, yeah, you're doing pretty well. This is.
And the last four were 1-1, so I was a bit nervous yesterday when it was 1-0, because the last four games I've had a 1-1.
This is Sam's shot at being Chancellor. This is, look at him. Right. So here are some of the questions from... So Taylor Blee says, do you think we've improved under DA? Personally, I think we have in most, not all aspects. What do you think needs to change to help us improve? We need to get good at transitions. We need to get better at mental strength and game management. And we need to get better at set pieces. I think if we do that, you're a good mid-table team. I don't necessarily think he's improved us massively. But I think I'm trying to think of the players he's brought in. I think he's got a good eye on a player. Tharm and Thompson have both been very good. Who else has he brought in?
Smith and Hume.
A Bickwood.
Smith
and Wood.
Yeah, Bickwood's, you know, loan. So you kind of get what you're given, don't you? But his permanent signings I've been quite impressed with, really. So that's the thing that I quite like at.
18. Norman, I went to 18 games in all competitions between victories.
So you're not. Are you going on Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So Norman Douglas says, great to hear the town fans chant Artel's name at the end of the game. He looked really emotional. Glad to hear that. You know, it's a win at home. You know, it's been a while. So he absolutely has been under pressure and rightly so. But he's, you know, given everything he's gone through, and he didn't need to be there yesterday. If he ever felt that was, you know, the thought process even touched his mind, he didn't need to be there. I think town fans are sympathetic enough to understand that. Yes, Mike, I do have the Twitter questions. I apologise.
Jesus.
Where? So Joe Thompson says, Curtis Thompson must be one of our best January signings in recent times. Who do you think all the others are? I would say Holohan, but I know he came in later, but he's technically a January signing, let's be honest.
Nolan
is a good... Yeah, Nolan. I can't think of any more.
There's been plenty of terrible January signings that have made us worse.
Ben Foster, that's true.
Lennon and Benson were quite good signings.
Do you count them as a signing?
Let it go, mate. Glennon's yesterday, man.
Manny.
I was trying to get away to get Glennon in there, wasn't I?
If we're doing that, I'm saying Manny. Michael John says the impact of Vernon can't be underestimated. Ball at his feet, dribbling past players, whipping balls into the box and getting a shot off. It certainly helped the crowd going. I agree with you there, Michael. Pete Rose says, don't thank Bruce for coming. He won't appreciate it. Rob Moore says, ambition now should be to finish above Salford. Swindon aren't out of sight either if we beat them. Cal 2009 says, with the squad starting to settle a bit and having a better idea of what qualities lie within the team at this point in time, do you still think we need a full overhaul, or could a few players turn this into a very good team? And what type of players do we need? I will pass it over to you guys because I still think we do need quite a severe overhaul.
Before I answer that, can I just... So now, we've won one game, right? And we've all said about how it could have been different. And now people are talking about finishing above Salford and Swindon. We're a bloody fickle bunch, aren't we?
No, we're desperate. We're desperate. That's what we Town fans are. They are desperate for success.
If we'd had a dodgy penalty given against us yesterday, the whole rhetoric tonight...
Arto would have been out.
Arto out. Get rid of all the players.
Even after everything he's been through this week. No sympathy.
But we cling on, and all of a sudden we're going to finish halfway up the league. It's just a kind of how difficult it sometimes is to maintain balance. I still think we need an overhaul.
Can I just say something as well? That is a very Grimsby thing as well that Sam has just said by saying we finish halfway up the table and it's effectively 19th.
Well, it's all about the context, really, isn't it, that you're in, you know? I don't think conceding that late goal against Bradford was, you know, it was terrible, but I don't think it changed the outcome, but it is in the context of where we are at the minute.
Oh yeah, we've got 2 points less.
You know what I mean? I don't think it didn't change the dynamics in my opinion. I don't think it changed the season. I think it was unfortunate, but you're quite right. One event changes everybody's view on circumstances. So everybody has said we were good yesterday. If we conceded late, nobody would really have admitted that. And it's the same with Bradford. If we'd hung on, everybody would say, what a battling performance. And I think in the context of what's happened since Doncaster, 80% of the games we've played, we haven't lost. Right? That is a big change. Let's be honest. That's a big change. I still think with the January signings, we've improved quite a lot. The issue comes when we want to start playing a different type of football and whether we can do that. I think 5 or 6 decent players in this squad improve us a lot, because we've seen it often enough before where an average player gets better when he's next to a good player. So it depends who you bring in, and it might bring better out of other players. There's also a lot of players in here who might be well beaten next season. The reason I wait to call a player out is the Rob Jones effect. You know, Rob Jones was shit this first season. Second season, he's the best centre half in League Two. So let's see what happens when we change the squad around, have a full pre-season and what have you. But there needs to be a bit of a change, but I don't think we need to be getting 15 or 16 players in like we might have been saying after Doncaster.
No, I've got to be honest, I disagree with you, Mike.
Who's good enough then, Mike, apart from Tharm and Tom? Sorry. Who's good enough apart from those players?
Eastwood could easily be a number two. I think Malarkey's looked decent as a right-sided centre-back and maybe as your second-choice right-back. Tharm, I'm always going to say Glennon. I think they're good enough with other players in there. You know, not everybody's is your starter. You don't have a team of 11 and that's it. You have to have players that are going to come in and do something with it.
I agree with
Clifton's good enough. Thompson's good enough. Vernon's good enough. Wilson's good enough. Rose is good enough.
So I think my opinion hasn't changed from last week where I put it on my own account and I said, Rose, I think, is the only person good enough for a starting 11 when you're looking for automatic promotion out of League Two. But I can see there is plenty of room for Thompson, Tharm, Vernon and Clifton in a team, in a squad that is trying to fight for promotion. And that's where our aim has to be. We've got one of the largest attendances at home. Wrexham and Stockport, two big money clubs, are likely to go by the looks of the teams that are coming down. There isn't going to be many clubs with bigger average attendances than us. They will have a bit more money than we do usually, Cheltenham, Port Vale and all that sort of stuff. But I think there are problems with this team. I don't know what they are. And I'm going to have to trust those in the wheelhouse to make those choice, those choices. But I think you're very kind, Mike, is my opinion.
I also think there's another thing that, so these are mainly Paul Hurst's players, and Artel clearly wants to play a different brand of football.
That's true.
So he's going to want to kind of, you ain't going to play Artel ball with Harry Clifton and Kieran Green in midfield. It's not a slight on their ability or kind of like their them as footballers or people, but they're just not equipped to play that particular style. If you get 40 games a season out of Vernon Wilson and Rose would be a bloody good front three at this level, I think. But getting 40 games a season out of Vernon and Wilson, I think, is kind of that's a pipe dream. He's going to need Thompson sitting in midfield with two much better midfielders in front of him, who can receive the ball on the half turn and play passes through.
You
the
mean
lines.
More creative? Because I think Thompson's good at what he does.
Yeah, exactly. So Thompson's your sitter, and then you need two other ones in front of him. You need two better fullbacks, whether it be Malarkey, Hume. Mishi's gone now, but Glennon. Glennon. I don't know if if it's something to do with the car crash, but so I'm maybe speculating here. But it's funny about Glennon.
Yeah, let's not speculate about car crashes, shall we?
I mean, but he's vanished, hasn't he? Didn't David Artel say he was available a couple of weeks ago, or have I misheard that one?
No, he definitely said he was available, because I thought it was odd that in a team that might be defending quite a bit, we had no defenders on the bench, when if Glennon is fit, we've chosen not to put him on the bench, if you know what I mean.
So, I'm sorry, Mike, but if two managers with very contrasting philosophies have come to the same conclusion about Glennon, I think the writing's on the wall about him, to be honest. But Rodgers is an interesting one. He might look brilliant with a different partner alongside him. His distribution leaves a bit to be desired, granted. And I'm not sure Doug Farm's the ideal partner for him, but I think there might be a player. He's the one I'm not going to kind of say I've given up on. There are some players I've just gone through who I have kind of admitted defeat on for various reasons.
Look, I don't think we're ever going to get revolution. I think it'll be evolution, won't it, in terms of the squad. So I think we'll probably see five first-team players come in.
We've got loads of players on 2 and 3 year contracts. We all were lyrical about that, didn't we? And now we're lumped with a load of players we don't want.
Well, didn't we actually say it actually isn't that bad? When we looked at it, it's sort of January time, wasn't it? We looked at it, it's not actually that bad.
Yeah.
Most of the players on longer contracts arose. I think Rodgers was the only one we was a bit undecided about. But
can I ask you a question then? Let's go back to from Morecambe onwards, where we've gone on to a pretty decent run. Can I just get a better, you know, what I'm going to ask you is, were we the better team in that game? Irrelevant of the scoreline, were we the better team? And then we can kind of work from there in terms of where we were and whether we need many changes. So Morecambe, were we the better team? I thought that was the same. I thought draw was fair.
I think we were better because we was away. I think whoever the away team was in that game was probably better.
I didn't see the game.
Forest Green at home?
Didn't see the game.
I thought we were better.
Well, there's this one and there's MK. It's like, what are we defining better? Yeah, because we weren't better with the ball, but we were better without the ball
in
those
games. I think you need to define it yourself. And what I'm asking in the two teams, if the game was won not on goals scored, but who performed better or who was the more likely winner, that is it. That's what I'm trying to get from you. So
we're not in those cases, but I think we were the better team. I think we deserved the win for how we defended.
Right. This might be a shit idea. Wimbledon, I thought we were the better team.
Yeah.
Sutton, I thought we were the better team.
Yeah.
Oh, that Miles the best team that day.
MK Dons, we were not the better team.
No.
They had 80%. Because they had 80% possession. Get back in your box.
But we hit the inside of the post and missed a penalty as well.
That's true.
In terms of play, yeah, they were better. In terms of chances, we were better.
Gillingham, I thought they were better.
Yeah.
Wrexham, they were better.
Barrow,
they were better. Bradford, we were better.
Yeah.
Newport, we were better. So it's about 50-50, isn't it?
But I'd agree. But I also think there's a massive amount of credit for how we defended in some of those games. I'm thinking MK Dons and Gillingham and things. And I think that would have been encapsulated in this.
You are looking at it from a team that is in a relegation fodder. I'm trying to look at it from a team that is trying to get promoted, which is ultimately the aim of this team. This team's if we have to grade this team tomorrow, they get a U or they get an F, even if they survive, because the overall aim of this season was to try and get into the playoffs or to try and get promoted, and they got nowhere near it. What I'm trying to work out is the players we've got, who do we need to change? Because there's clearly a mentality problem. And then trying to look at it through the eyes of, well, you have to be the better team to get promoted. It's about 50-50. So I don't think we're A, as bad as the league table suggests from that run, which would suggest Artel is having an effect on those players for the better. But it would also suggest that there are changes that need to be made. I think Thompson might be that steal in the middle of the park, but I still think we need some steal at the back. That can come from a goalkeeper or a central defender.
Yeah.
I think
goalkeeper is a big one.
Yeah. You know, you get someone like Farnin. Who's the bloke? Farman or the guy from Leighton Orient, someone like that, Vitros or whatever his name is. Yeah. A really experienced goalkeeper sort of thing, which is what we've used to had, let's be entirely honest.
We've seen
I do think you're right, mate. You're quite correct. I'm looking at the context of where we are now. And if you look at the context of where we thought
and
we
I didn't say that, yeah.
season, you are bang on, absolutely. I'm just trying to look at it from where we are.
Ben Hill has probably put a pissed on my idea of getting Vigro because he's now at Burnley.
We could get him on loan, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
But I've said this before about League Two. There's realistically, I don't think this has changed this season. It's a mark of how poor we've been. If you have a top quality goal scorer and a top quality goalkeeper, they're the two points different
and
strikers.
A top quality set piece.
You can really sort of perform better than the sum of you. You can perform better than the sum of your parts doing
it. It's Division Four. It is Division Four football, and we have languished in it so long that I think it's a bit like that old story you hear in the upper leagues when they go, lads, it's Tottenham. It's Division Four. Just be quicker, be faster, be more aggressive, and you'll win most of your games. As long as you've got a decent set piece, you'll probably score 30 goals from that alone, which is what we did in 2005, 2006, when we had Rob Jones and Gary Jones on everything in the middle of the box.
And you had Reddy making the defence. Yeah.
And we were just twatting everybody like a legend.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there we go. I think we've run out of an hour, and Bruce hasn't even been here to talk about the 1930s or whatever it is he talks about. Anything we've got before we need to go?
Are we going to win on Tuesday?
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Well, we've got you said safe by Tuesday on the space, didn't you? Safe by Tuesday, Sam, I'm calling you.
Safe by Tuesday, Sam. I said we could.
No, he was talking about his joke. He was talking about his job, Mike.
All right.
I don't think that'll be safe by Tuesday.
No, that's true. Thank you, everyone, for coming on. Just a quick last one. We've put a load of new prints up from the drone that we got on the Etsy shop. If you're listening to it and record it, I'll put the link below. But thank you all so much for joining us. Mike, enjoy the last few hours you've got in God's own country.
I will do, mate. Thank you very much. Are we allowed to thank people for listening because Bruce isn't here? Because I know he doesn't that sort of thing.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming. A massive round of applause for everyone for coming, showing your dedication to the sport and to the podcast. It's very much appreciated. We love you, unlike Bruce. So there we go. Sam,
Bruce the misanthropist. There you type.
Exactly. Right. I shall see you all later. Have a great weekend, and we shall see you all next week. See you later. Bye.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got plenty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of...